This is Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by
April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life.
Join us while we showcase inspirational stories and inspirational people.
Come on, y'all. Put your big girl pants on and stay tuned.
Hey.
How do you do?
How are you?
I'm great.
Super good.
So fun to be here again.
I know. Again.
And with a fun guest.
A super fun guest.
Who has a super fun job.
I know, right?
Oh my God, I'm so jelly.
Funnest job. So we have Laura Marshall.
Hey, Laura.
Which Hi. Is someone that I've known since fifth grade. Yep, way back.
Were you guys in fifth grade together?
No, we didn't go to school together.
No, actually, we always went to different schools, even though we lived in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird.
I know.
Yeah, how was that? I mean,
so my grandmother lived in your neighborhood, but my dad lived with my grandmother. So whenever I would go to my dad's house, I would always be like two streets away from her. But my mom lived on the other side of town.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we've always known each other. We've always had like similar friends, similar friend groups. And then we kind of reconnected like what? 3 years ago, because we went to 4th of July together, came over, we went on the boat and hung out. Our kids played together. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't believe how
Do you have an older, I just met her, the most adorable little child.
Oh my gosh.
What's her name?
Ashlyn.
Ashlyn.
Yeah.
What
precious.
A little doll. So you must have an older one then.
So I have another daughter. She just turned 9.
Okay.
And so she's actually my stepdaughter.
Okay.
But I mean,
she's your daughter.
Yeah, yeah, she's mine. I've been in her life since she was 3, so basically raised her. But yeah, so now we have she's 2.5, and she's just a little spitfire. She's
my
a
favorite,
lot of fun.
My favorite little person in the whole world.
Yeah,
yeah, I love her. So, you're married.
I am
To your husband Kevin.
Yes,
and so you guys have Ashlyn together, and then your older daughter. What's her name?
Chiles.
So Chiles is Kevin's daughter from a previous marriage, and then he brought her into the marriage, and then you guys have Ashlyn together.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know. I want for the listeners. I want you to tell them a little bit about your background. Your history, where you started as far as like your career and stuff like that before you got married, and then how that progressed into the beautiful clothes that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, there are a few things are displayed behind us.
And we're actually wearing Sugar and Suede right now.
We are wearing Sugar and Suede. I feel pretty cute.
How good does that feel though? To like,
oh man.
I feel like you're beaming with pride, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You should be.
So it has been really fun. So I've always was like the boutique connoisseur myself, because I would shop at Target and stuff, but there was, you know, whenever I wanted to look cute, like I wanted stuff that not everybody had.
Yes.
And so I would always like find online boutiques and stuff and buy, you know, expensive stuff from these boutiques. I mean, you're talking $50 for just a shirt
or $100.
Yeah. $100. Yeah. So I kind of just felt like I needed something of my own again.
Right.
And it's something that's super flexible. And I did quite a bit of research. It took probably a solid 6 months to a year in just researching vendors and process and what every step of the way was going to take. And I kind of just dove in one day. I told my husband, I said, hey, and I hadn't really even brought it up with him.
Yeah.
I like, it was all on me, like did all this research without even saying anything to
him. We're the best at doing that.
Yeah. And then one day I just said, hey, I think I want to do this. And he was like, where did this come
from? He's like, wait, what? You want to do what?
And I told him, I said, I have X amount of money that I could literally like be okay with never seeing again.
Yeah.
Like this will be my X amount of dollars I'm willing to invest into doing this, see what happens. And if I make my money back in X amount of time, I set a goal. I was like, then I'll order more.
Look what happens when you invest in yourself.
I know.
Oh, man.
It feels so good.
But yeah, I have known April since fifth grade, grew up together. She kind of knows like my background with my family life. It was just a mess. And so I was out on my own by 15.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, define that on your own.
So my mom kicked me out of my house.
Oh, okay.
My parents were divorced. It was very turbulent relationship with my mom. Didn't really have a very good relationship with my dad either, but you know, at 15, you can't really do anything but go live with your dad at that point. So slept on the couch for a couple years with my dad, then moved in with my grandmother to take care of her. She had early stage Alzheimer's, diabetes, that kind of stuff. Dropped out of high school. Even though like I took summer school classes to graduate early, I was National Honor Society. I was top 10% of my class. But I had to drop out of school to take care of my grandmother and get a full-time job.
Look at you now.
Yep. Yeah. And my first job, I actually told this story to my 9-year-old the other day. My first job, I worked at as a veterinary nurse for 15 years before I met my husband. And my first job was in our small town. And I was 15 at the time, so technically I couldn't work there yet legally. And I went into I had early release from school. So this was when I was still in school. I had early release for co-op, which at the time was, you know, where you would get to leave and go to your specific job that you had in high school. And so I would leave school early. I would go and sit in his lobby at this animal clinic.
Yeah.
And I would wait. And I told the front desk, I said, I'm just going to sit here and wait until he agrees to meet me. And I did it for a week straight.
Oh, my God.
And one day I sat in his lobby for 3 hours from the time I left school till the time they closed.
Yeah.
I sat there. And he was like, finally, he was like, okay, I just have, are you like, just going to sit?
What do you want?
Like, wait, are you just going to come every day? And I was like, yes.
Until you talk to me.
I am. And so finally he talked to me and he was like, I really like don't know what you're going to do. Like, I can't pay you. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I'll work for free.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have long until I turned 16. Yeah. Then he could pay me.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll work for free until I turn 16. I just need a job. I need somewhere to go from this time till whenever you close.
Right.
And he was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever done. And he's like, sure. Okay.
So tell us the truth. Did he actually pay you, though? Did he give you cash?
No. So he did not pay me until I turned 16.
Wow.
That was our agreement. And he was like, if that's what you're going to agree to do, then... And I basically cleaned kennels and scooped poop. And
well, and to be fair, all growing up, Laura always had pets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she had ferrets, she had dogs, she had everything. And, like, you've always been... more of like a pet person than a people person.
Oh, yes.
Which is super cool.
How many pets does Laura have now?
Currently, we have 4 cats and 2 dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want 3?
No.
Okay.
Are you getting rid of your dog?
Get out of there.
Only if it's a really loving family that has kids and wants a chocolate lab. Anyone? Anyone?
Anybody?
Oh, Bueller? Gosh. Bueller? Well, we just added our second dog. He's a Pyrenees lab mix.
Okay.
And
Pyrenees,
so,
man, those are big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be a big dog.
Yeah, he's huge.
We're excited, though.
Yeah.
We had one before. We had a Pyrenees mix before. And he was
they're
awesome.
Precious, but they're huge and like fur.
That's
like a polar bear.
I think that's my issue. So we just got a chocolate lab and we got him in September.
Yeah.
8 weeks old, like a teeny weeny.
He
was just a little baby. And that I was excited about. And I come from, like, we've had a Pomeranian and a Bichon for the last 17 years, right? We had to put them down. Long story short, now we have a 100-pound dog. And I don't know what to do with it. Like, he's sweet. Oh, my goodness. The sweetest little thing. But hair.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Hair. Hair. And he has he smells like a dog. And he looks like a dog. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we got a dog. Like, there's dogs. I love dogs. We got a dog. It's different. Carry on.
She's like, I just wanted a puppy that was just gonna stay a puppy forever and didn't shed and didn't bark and didn't poop and
he
like,
doesn't
all
bark
of that.
I will say that this big 100-pound dog doesn't bark ever.
What's his name?
Bing.
But
my husband is a big fan of Sopranos and the strip
Bada
joint Bada Bing.
Oh, gosh.
And so they named him Bada Bing, so his name is Bing. Really sweet dog. It's fine.
I just don't love it.
It's fine.
Whatever. We're moving on.
He lives with me. It's fine.
You'll warm up to him.
You loved animals.
Oh, man. Yeah. And I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Yes.
That was the
original goal.
Right. Like, okay. That is the vision I had for my life. But life didn't go that way, which is fine. You know, I made the best of what it was.
Yeah.
So when I was living with my grandmother, taking care of her, then as soon as, like, on the dot when I turned 18, told my dad, I was like, look, this is your mom. I love her to death.
Yeah.
I got to get out of here though.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'm gonna be here till she's not.
Right.
Yeah. And so I got my own apartment, moved out, and then, you know, just did my due diligence of working my way up the totem pole with different animal clinics and nicer areas. And at times I had 2 and 3 jobs just trying to make ends meet. And every now and then I'd get a wild hair, go back to school. I think I have 3 degrees. None of them are finished. yeah. So first I went to school for veterinary nursing. Didn't finish that because I was just bored out of my mind. I was like, I know all of this stuff. Like,
I'm
sitting through these classes and I already learned this.
Yeah.
Like, I do this every day.
And you have hands-on experience. Yeah. So you're like, I already know this stuff.
Yeah. And so then I was like, I'm spending all of this money and I'm not going to see a return. Like, it's not going to change how much money I'm making.
Right.
And my boss was very honest with me about it. They were like, no, you're making
what we would pay you
top dollar
if you had a degree.
You're good at what you do.
Right.
You know,
that's rough.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't want to go into debt for that. And then,
which is smart. Cause I didn't have that same foreshadowing.
Yeah.
I just have a bunch of student loans now.
But you got your high school diploma?
I got my GED.
You got your GED? Okay.
Yeah, I eventually did get that. I circled back around and eventually got that with the berating of one of my bosses.
Good for him.
Well, she.
Sweet harassment.
Yes. You know, she was honestly like the closest thing I had to a mom growing up. Like, she was my mentor. And I owe her so much. She was just rock solid.
Yeah.
You can cry if you want to.
We cry here.
Oh, yeah, we do. You do a lot when we get deep.
Emotional.
Yeah.
Super emotional.
Yeah. So she was a really awesome person.
And you can tell when someone values you.
Yeah.
By how much they invest in like your well-being and your future. Like, she wouldn't have done that if she didn't care about you.
No, right. No.
That's like Shapiro. She yells at me when I do stuff wrong, but it's because she loves me.
I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. She yelled at me a lot. So, she was the smartest woman I knew. She was a veterinarian. She was brilliant. She was, you know, at times she would like say that she felt like she had a little bit of Asperger's because she was like really particular about things.
Yeah.
And I used to always laugh at her because she would get so worked up about the weirdest stuff.
And you're like, why does that bother you?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. It just does. Okay.
But she made me want to be better.
For yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and
that's the best kind of person.
She was always like, you need to go to vet school. You need to go to vet school. I was like, are you going to pay for it?
Right. Yeah, right.
Because if you don't pay for it, I'll
go. Who's going to pay for all this? Because I ain't.
Yeah. But then she gave me the opportunity to do ultrasonography at the animal clinic I worked at.
Yeah.
And so that was something that was like, oh,
yeah,
I could do this.
Yeah.
Like, I could do this and it would elevate me even more.
And for that, all you need to do is to, like, get a certificate, right?
Yeah.
To, like,
so, do that. Yeah. Well, for animals, yes. And so she put me through the program.
That's awesome.
I mean, she paid for it.
Wow.
And I was just like,
nice.
Oh my gosh, I was so grateful.
You can give her a shout out on here if you want to.
Yeah. Well, she's not a practicing vet anymore, which is kind of interesting to me. She actually went back to school to get another degree. So I was like, wow, you know, I couldn't believe that. She sold her practice and she's on to bigger and better things, I guess. But talk about starting over. I think she's like late 50s.
Oh, I love that.
Like pursuing what she dreamed of doing that wasn't the path that she took, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so she put me through the certification program for animal diagnostic ultrasonography, and that was just awesome. And I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, I was like, you know what? Like, I can't do this forever.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be able to wrestle these 100-pound dogs and lift them up on the exam room tables. Mm-hmm. And, like, there comes a point when you're, like, tired of getting bit and scratched and, you know.
Did you get bit a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I got scars, like, everywhere from everything.
Yeah. That's a real love of animals.
For sure.
And so I was like, I just can't do this forever. Like, my body is going to give out. And I worked with, like, nurses that were getting up there in age, and their, like, bodies are broken.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, gosh. Okay. So future plans. What can I do? Where can I go? And I was like, I've also got to get myself to a point where I'm not having to work three jobs.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, like,
because you were always like just grinding all the time. It was like, if you're not at your first job, you're at your second job. If you're not at your second job, you're spotlighting somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. So
at least you have that grind though, and that drive, because not everybody has that drive.
No, I really admire that. It kind of drives me crazy when I see young people who don't have kids, they're not married, and they're working like, you know, 40 hours a week. And I'm like,
what do you do with the rest
of
your week?
Much time. You could have a second job. Why do you not have a second job?
Yeah. Right. And then you complain about money, but then you spend all your money on the
weekends.
Drives
me insane. Like,
yeah. And, you know, part of it was, I mean, I would work at a day practice, you know, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then I'd work at an emergency clinic from 6 p.m. to midnight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on weekend, like at one point on weekends, I was waiting tables as well. And so it was that kind of situation. And then I just kind of got tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
you're burnt out, man.
You get burnt out real fast. And I wanted to have a career. Like, I didn't want to just have a job.
Yeah.
And I did have a career with veterinary medicine. Like, that is a career, but it's not a sustainable career. And it's not a career that you can provide, you know, and like that career, not to like shame anybody who chooses that career, but that career is definitely a career where you have to have a partner.
Yeah.
You have to have
supplemental income.
Yeah. You have to have someone else supporting you and your family, because you can't just be, you will never be the primary breadwinner.
Okay. Unless you're a vet.
Unless you're a vet.
Right.
But also on top of that, a lot of vets end up with $200,000 in student loans.
Oh. Yeah, pay that off too.
Just for school.
Right.
And you're coming out of school making $70,000,
right.
$80,000.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's going to take you a while to actually...
10, 20, 30 years to pay all that off.
Yeah. 25,
not
sure.
Only the business loans to start your own practice.
Yes.
And then also have employees and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you even can afford to start your own practice.
Right.
A lot of these doctors, they get out and they have to work under another doctor, or they work for like
Banfield
or VCA or some kind of franchise type situation, and in that sense they have great benefits, but you're also making a lot less money,
right?
So got out of that, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna at the time I was married to my first husband.
Yeah.
And so
which ironically, they had the same last name. How cool is that?
She
didn't have to change her name.
I didn't have to do any of that stuff.
That is, that's interesting.
It was. So there was a little bit of research had to go in before we tied the knot.
You're like, wait, are we related?
Yeah, we had to make sure. And like, we even had to like really be sure. because it did kind of scare me a little bit. My first husband, I did have, you know, that supplemental income. It wasn't a lot, but it was something, and it gave me the ability to kind of step back a little bit and go back to school. And I was going to go back to school for diagnostic ultrasonography in humans.
Mm.
So into like the human medicine, because I looked into that career and I was like, okay, well, it's basically 2 years of school.
Yeah.
$80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Starting.
Worth it.
And I knew it was something that I already had a passion for, because I was doing it
on animals.
At work on animals.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be good at it.
Yeah.
Because I
know how to do it.
I know what I'm doing. Well, I started the schooling, and nobody told me that, you know, you basically had to do nursing school.
And then
do this ultrasonography stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like having to learn how to do CPR and put in IV catheters. And I was like,
I don't think I want to do this. I changed my mind.
I don't want to do this on people. Like, I just want to do the, the driving.
The wand. I just want the wand.
Like, I just want to look at the babies, or like the hearts, you know, and like.
Or the intestines.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, like, I
want to
do the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do the gross stuff. And so I got about halfway through that program, and then I got a divorce. So I lost that additional income.
Yeah.
Then back to grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to grinding and kind of
And how old were you about, you know, this time frame?
Oh, gosh. 20s, early 20s. I got married really young. I think I was 21 when I got married.
Yeah.
And we were married for 3 years.
Okay.
And so at that point, I basically started life over. I was like, you can have everything. I just need my cats and a TV and a bed. Yeah. Like, you can keep everything. We're just going to have to part ways. Like, we are not going down the same path.
Yeah. Like, we don't have the same goals.
It was not like we were on bad terms.
Yeah.
It was just like we had had so many issues in our marriage that I realized that he was going one way, I was going the other, and we weren't going to ever be mm-hmm. going the same direction. And so we split up, very amicable, just took what I could and parted ways. I bought a house. I got back to working 2 and 3 jobs.
Yeah.
I bought a motorcycle.
For herself?
Yeah.
She's a gangster.
I love it.
Me too.
Tiny little person.
I know.
Yeah.
She's like, I love that thing.
Man, that was...
What kind of motorcycle was it?
It was a Kawasaki ZX-6R.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty awesome experience to own a motorcycle and like teach myself how to ride it.
Yeah.
And like...
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so, and of course at the same time I'm driving a Camaro around as my day driver, and then I've got this bike like on the weekends.
You're a badass. That's what you are. Yeah.
So that was, it was like
the single days.
It was almost like so midlife crisis.
Right. But like quarter life crisis.
But in my 20s.
Yeah.
But no, I really needed that though. Because when I had my bike, the community that I met,
yeah,
you know, granted, like some people like to think of bikers as like these like just rough, you know, no brain riding around like crazy lunatics on their bikes, but really it's a community of mm-hmm. people,
yeah,
who all really use their bikes as like a release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their freedom.
Yeah.
That's what gets them out of their head of reality and like day in and day out, like what is hard about life.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool to have that. I met some really cool people, lost some people, you know, which is inevitable, but it taught you a lot. It taught you a lot to be respectful of speed. It taught you to cherish every minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, so kind of went through that little midlife crisis early, got that out of my system, got back out on the dating scene for a little while,
yeah.
And that was terrifying.
That's the worst thing ever, man.
Absolutely terrifying.
Well, especially because you got married so young, right?
You're my gosh.
I didn't even know any of this existed.
Well, I got married so young, but then also, like, I married somebody that I was friends with first.
Yeah. Like, so you didn't ever have to actually date. I never have either. I'm 45 years old, and I've never been in the dating scene.
Yeah, I mean, we were part of, like, this big group of friends that would just, like...
Hang out
yeah, every weekend. Like, that was what you did.
Yeah.
You know, there was no... questioning like, hey, where are we gonna go, what are we gonna do? No, we just all knew, like, we'd meet up at this place and hang out. And oh my gosh, I was like, this whole like dating apps and stuff, like that's when it first came out.
Yeah.
I think Tinder had just come out,
and you're like,
and I dabbled in it for a little bit, and I was like, oh no.
I am not doing this.
No,
we are not friends
for me.
No. And then I like had a I had like one date that was perspective, and like I really liked this guy actually. Well, come to find out, he's married.
Of course, mm-hmm. He was.
Oh, good. Yeah,
okay. He used the apps.
That's good.
Because
yeah.
He was married. Right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, great.
Good
this
job.
This is what I have to look forward to. So I basically at that point was like, you know what? I don't really need to have anyone.
I don't want
to
do this. We're good.
I'm good.
I changed my mind.
I'm good with just being alone. With my 4 cats, or actually technically at the time I had five cats.
I was young, the young cat lady.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
That's funny.
Yeah, I had a 3-bedroom condo with 5 cats, a motorcycle, and a Camaro.
Yeah.
It's like,
I was good. I was living my best life. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a group of girlfriends at work that I just adored. And so I was like, I'm just done. I'm just going to like hang out with the girls. And then, of course, everybody at work started getting married and had girlfriends or boyfriends. And I was just like, okay, so girls' night. We go out for girls' night. And it's about 11 o'clock. And they're like, oh, we're going to go home. And I'm like,
what? Wait, what?
Y'all, like, guys. I barely ever have a night out or a night off.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it up tonight.
Yeah, we're doing something.
So they all leave me. And I'm just like, texting everybody I knew, like
at 11 o'clock.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What are y'all doing? Where are you at?
What's going on?
Yeah. And a girlfriend of mine that I've like hardly ever hung out with, she was like, oh, come over here. I'm at Red River.
Yeah.
And I was like, Red River? I had no idea what Red River was.
Really?
I had lived in Dallas my whole life.
It's the country bar.
Life.
Oh.
And I did not know what Cowboys Red River was.
Oh, my God, that's
Cowboys.
Amazing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, is what I'm wearing okay? And I like told her I was wearing like a spaghetti strap shirt with my wedge shoe,
yeah,
high heels.
Yeah, you're like, I'm wearing wedges. Like,
and she's like, yeah, sure, come on. And I'm like, okay. So I show up there and everyone is
cowboy
in.
Cowboy boots.
Yeah. I was like, thanks. But it was like, I didn't really care. You know, yeah. I wasn't there to like find a date, you know, I literally,
let alone a husband.
Yeah. I literally just was there to have a good time. And I never even country danced before. So I was kind of like really nervous.
Yeah.
I was like, if anybody asked me to dance, like, what do I do?
How many beers do I need to get on this dance floor?
Yeah. And, so the night goes on and I'm hanging out with my friend and I have like multiple people like come up to me and like want to talk to me and stuff.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh gosh.
I'm so over you. I don't even want to talk to you right now.
And so I had like a couple of guys want to dance with me and buy me drinks and stuff. And then I run into a guy that I had dated that I broke up with. And he, of course, wants to like hang out with me all night. And I was like, this is not what I wanted to do tonight. And so, but I was, you know, nice to him. I wasn't like awful.
Right.
And, you know, he knew that like I wasn't interested anymore. He was just being friendly. And then I was dancing with this random guy. You don't even know who he was. Don't know his name, nothing. And in the middle of a song, he leaves me.
On the dance floor?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. All right. Just bye.
Okay.
Disappears. Bye. And I'm like mortified.
Yeah.
Because I'm already like a really shy person.
And then like standing out in the middle of the dance
floor.
And
I'm
like,
yeah.
And I've been abandoned.
And I'm wearing wedges.
The dance
sticking
floor.
Sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. Yes. And so I literally like my eyes just go to the floor and I'm like searching for the exit. I'm like,
how do I get out of here?
I'm like not even looking up. I'm looking at my feet and like trying to find the exit.
Maybe it's glowing. The red exit is going to glow on the floor and I'm going to find it.
And the next thing I know, I run into someone. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just ran. And I kind of look up and he just grabs me up and starts dancing with me.
Oh, perfect. Aww.
And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, this is now my husband,
Kevin.
Aw, I love it.
And so then he like proceeds to tell me that he'd been watching me dance with other people all night and like was just waiting for his chance to come and dance with me. And I was like, okay, whatever, dude. You know,
you're like, yeah, like, okay, good.
I didn't.
Good line,
so you saw
bro.
Me get dropped on the dance floor and you came in my knight in shining armor. I love it. That's great.
Yeah. So we hung out the rest of the night, bought me a couple drinks, walked me to my car. And then he was like, do you want to go to IHOP with me and my friends? And I was like, no.
No.
I don't.
I'm good, but thanks.
And he was like, are you sure? Why not? And I was like, well, you know, because I really do like you, actually. Like, and if I go to IHOP with you, I'm never going to see you again. Because I know where that's going. And so we said our goodbyes. He got my number. And, like, he was persistent.
Yeah.
I mean, he texted, called, talked on the phone. He invited me to his birthday, like, the next couple of weekends. And I was like, no, I have plans. I didn't. But I told him that. And then he like invited.
Straight out of the rule book, y'all.
Yeah, I didn't, but I told him that.
Yeah, and then he invited me to like go to the Virgin Islands with him on vacation. I was like, dude, I have two jobs. I can't go anywhere. Plus, I don't know you.
Right.
Like, we can't do that.
I mean, a vacation does sound nice.
Yeah, it did. It really did. But he was like sending me pictures the whole time. I mean,
wow.
He was like really, doing it big. And I was like, okay, this guy is just relentless.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to give up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have to go on a real date with him.
Right.
So when he came back from his trip, I was like, if he contacts me again and asks me out, I'm going to go out with him.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he did. So, and then that's, just kind of where we started. We went on our first date and our first date, he had his daughter, but his daughter was supposed to be spending the night with grandma.
Yeah.
And grandma called at like 11 and was like, she doesn't want to stay.
Oh. Okay.
What do we do now?
What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I don't have kids. What does that mean?
Because mind you, Shapiro, I had never dated anyone with children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, this was all new to me.
So you're like, and there's a kid that's going to be coming to hang out. What?
Right. Yeah. So I met his daughter and his mom on our first date.
Yay. Oh. No pressure. Mm-hmm. No pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could tell already that mom was not real happy. And I was like, I don't know why. I'm a catch. Like,
I'm amazing. I don't even know.
You just need to get to know me. But, yeah, so we had to go pick her up, and then I was like, okay, you know, she's little, like, he'll just go put her in her bed, and, like,
no,
she'll go to sleep, and it'd be no big deal. Like, we won't have to explain, like, who I am or anything right. like that. Because that was my biggest thing. Like, I didn't want to start dating somebody with a kid and then have their child get attached to me and it not work out and then really, like, hurt a child.
Right. Yeah.
That I had no intention on hurting.
For sure.
So, that's why I was like treading really lightly with dating him to begin with. Like, that's kind of why I postponed going out on a date with him, because I really didn't know what to do or how to handle the situation. Well, then we go pick her up, bring her home, and I'm like, okay, she's going to go to bed. He's like, no,
she stays with me.
She doesn't know how, she doesn't sleep in her bed. And I was like, what?
What's happening? How old was Charles at this point?
3.
Oh,
she just turned 3. And so, but she was cool, man. Like, she and I, our relationship, like, blossomed right away. Like,
is her mom in the picture?
Yes. She was in the picture. At the time, she lived with her mom. So okay. We met in February, kind of became official around April. And then I moved in with him in June. So it all happened really, really fast.
Yeah.
And then we actually ended up getting full custody of her in July.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
yeah, 1 month later. No big deal.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, not only do you have a live-in boyfriend, but also you have a kid.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. So became, and then it was a situation where we got full custody and there was a no contact order for 60 days. Oh, wow. So it wasn't just she came to stay with us primarily and like saw our mom on the weekends.
Right.
Like, it was
100% fully immersed.
She's here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was a little bit of a shock, I mean, to both of us, really, because he really hadn't had that kind of, you know,
parenting
responsibility
yeah.
up, you know, ever since they split up.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a little bit of a shock. But I think, honestly, like, for the situation, we handled it as gracefully as we could.
Yeah.
Because on top of that, I mean, there was attorneys and there was legal stuff. I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Especially within your first year of being together.
I was about to say,
six months.
Yeah. How'd that work for you? Like, how did that make you feel? Because I recently went through something with Chloe's dad, and I'm dating a new person, and we just hit our 1 year mark in January, and we went through this whole custody battle and everything in like November mm-hmm. of last year, October, November. So it was like seeing him go through that, you know, like mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Right.
It is definitely like the only thing I will say, it is a choice. It is a choice to be committed.
Yeah.
Committed wholeheartedly, because I mean, at that point, there at no point did I ever feel like, you know what, like, I don't want to do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that didn't even come into my
mind. You were all in from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you even have a hindrance of, I don't think I can do this.
Right. Like an inkling of doubt. You're like, you better get out.
Yeah.
You better get out.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I never felt that. And really, it was more of just knowing that, like, this was my life.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't temporary.
Right.
Like, this is what I signed up for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to see it all the way through.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
And of course, like ever since then, we've had our ups and downs and we have separated.
Oh, you've been married? Like you're in a marriage?
Yeah. I mean, we.
Oh, those aren't easy?
No.
What?
No.
No.
We have postponed weddings multiple times. I mean, it was a journey.
Yeah.
But in the end, we kept choosing each other.
Yeah.
And there was a reason for that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because we had kids together.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Because we really technically didn't at the time.
Right.
We did, but we didn't.
Right.
But we kept choosing each other. We knew that we made each other better. And then, so whenever I met my husband, I was still working as a veterinary nurse and I had kind of started going back to school. I basically just wanted to go back to school to get an associate's degree.
Yeah.
So that's that third degree come in there. It's not finished. It's close.
That's all right, man. I got some too.
But yeah. So I just wanted something and I went back to school and was working on that. But I also started helping him with his company. He owns a landscaping construction company and he started that out just by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, chucking a truck, mowing lawns and doing like handyman stuff.
Yeah.
And when I came into the picture, he'd been in business, let's see, so 2009, I came on board in 2015. So whenever I finally moved in with him, I was still commuting back to Dallas every day to work at the vet clinic. I was over it.
Yeah.
I was over it before it started.
Yeah.
And so I said goodbye to my career as a veterinary nurse and just, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to dive in. He needs help.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have anybody doing his bookkeeping. He didn't have anybody like taking care of payroll, taxes, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He was just trying to do it all himself. And he had like a secretary that would come in and answer phones and do like bare minimum stuff.
Right.
But she didn't do a lot of the keeping up with the accounting and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, you've got to do that.
Right.
Like, that's kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. And so I basically just like, I am going to figure out how to do all of it.
Yeah.
And I used YouTube and Google and, you know, QuickBooks for Dummies.
Yeah.
Like I taught myself how to do.
That's pretty. That's
man,
amazing.
You are a girl after
that's
my own
so,
heart.
Yeah, no,
I
Shapiro
love
was
it.
Like, you're speaking my language. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna figure this out. Like I'm gonna figure it all out. And his books were a wreck. Like when I started diving into this,
I was about to say, how many reconciliations did you have to do? Like what? Oh,
they'd never been done.
You're like, I lost every step.
I said reconciliations and he was like, what's that?
What's that?
Oh no.
I was like, oh no. But yeah, so I outsourced to all kinds of people. I think I had like three different people that were bookkeepers or QuickBooks experts that I brought in.
Yeah.
I basically brought in, I sat them next to me and I was like, help me do this.
Yeah.
Teach me what I need to do. It took me 2 years, I think, to really get
a handle on it.
Everything cleaned up and streamlined and like know what I was doing.
Yeah. Right.
Like just by routine.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, no post-it notes to remind me to do this or that or, you know, whatever. And it was just habit and I knew what to do and when to do it. And so that was my life.
Yeah.
You know, I ran the office and he did all the other stuff. And I was like, more power to you. I don't want to do any of that. And I mean, don't get me wrong. There were a couple of times where I was out there throwing grass around and like helping finish jobs when they needed to be done by 5 o'clock that afternoon. So I did get my hands dirty a little bit, but I was just, that was my new role. And then on top of that, I was basically a mom.
Right.
You know, so now I'm running a household, running a business, and taking care of a child.
Hashtag woman.
Yeah. And I've been doing that since 2015.
Yeah. So 6 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then every now and then, like, I would get the urge to want to go back into veterinary medicine because I miss it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, like, you just, when something is, you feel like something is your calling,
yeah,
like that's why you were put on the earth, like you want to do it. And so I signed up as like a relief nurse.
Yeah.
And so every now and then I'd get jobs that would, you know, reach out to me. Hey, you know, we need coverage for this and that. And I would go and work at these places and I was just like, I really don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sad that, you know,
that chapter in your life is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, and I look back on it and I realize that it wasn't just being a veterinary nurse that gave me fulfillment.
Yeah.
It was working for my boss that I worked for.
Right. Yeah.
Because she expected so much. Like her expectation level was so high of everybody that her whole practice ran at, you know, she used to always joke about it. She was the Neiman Marcus of veterinary clinics.
And I was like, I'm bougie, okay? And everybody else that works with me is going to be bougie too.
Yeah, she was like, she expected a lot. And I realized now, like, when I would work at these other clinics, and I was like, yeah, she really did. And it made us better.
But that sets the standard for not only your job or your career working for her, but every career you have going forward. Mm-hmm. So when someone holds you to those standards, you're like, oh, wow. And when you see people that don't hold themselves to those standards, you're like, mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to do that. So
yeah,
yeah. drives me to be better.
And it was one of those situations where like I always felt kind of uncomfortable because I would go into a place and I would see how they would do things. And I'd be like, you know, you do it like this.
Yeah.
And it would be a little bit more efficient, or you would have better success if you did it.
Yeah.
And then you start being like, the asshole,
right?
You know,
yeah. Everybody hates
like,
you.
Yeah, it's like, who are you? You know,
who
like,
do you
get
think
out of here.
You are?
And so I was like, yeah, this is not gonna, it's not gonna be right. it's not the right fit. So I kind of gave up on that and stepped back away from it, focused on the business, and then I started looking at, you know, going back to school, and then we got pregnant.
Yeah,
well, we got married, then got pregnant, and then that just completely changed everything.
Yeah, right. And how old is your daughter now?
She is 2.5.
Okay.
Or she'll be 2.5 in June. So.
And how long have you had your business?
So my personal business, mm-hmm. the Sugar and Suede,
mm-hmm.
December of 2020.
Okay. Can't wait to hear how you transitioned
into
that.
So yeah. Pumped.
So had my baby and life got really hard. Like there's so many women out there who, you know, they get pregnant and they have babies and they do it so gracefully. And like, you're like, wow.
Like, how did you do that?
That's so great.
Well, they have their babies and then they immediately bounce back in their bodies. So then they just go back to work and then everything is just fine. And then everybody's fine.
And what
it's great.
What I say now, like to women that are younger than me or like at that point in life where they're about to have a baby or they're pregnant. And I'm just going to be totally honest with you because I don't feel like anyone was honest with me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My number one gift for new moms is like, I'm not like, and I mean this in the nicest way possible. I'm not going to buy anything for you or I'm not going to buy anything for your baby because literally nobody buys any gifts for the mom.
Yeah.
I buy them granny panties, Depends, pads, witch hazel, a squirt bottle, like all the things that you need that you don't even realize that you need for like post-birth, coffee, granola bars.
Yeah.
Like, because everybody's going to buy you onesies. Everybody's going to buy you diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I have two kids. I did not know that.
Well, like, did you have vaginal births?
Yeah. Both.
Yeah. You never wore like pads or anything after you had a baby?
Yeah, but not Depends.
That's what but the Depends just make it easier. So you don't have to wear pads.
Mm-hmm. New to me. New to me.
Yeah.
But it's more of like the self-care. Like the fact that, you know, women, we don't get as much of the focus as the baby does as soon as the baby comes, you know?
Yeah. Or telling you how hard it is.
Yeah.
You know, not just like the
it's
birth
so hard,
part.
Man.
Yeah, the lack of sleep, the transition.
Yeah.
And,
when they're actually here in your arms and you're like sitting there at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning with a crying baby and you're crying and you're like, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah. Mm.
Like nobody tells you that part.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just like, oh my God, but your baby's so cute. You know, and everybody like expects you to just embrace being a mom so gracefully and love your baby. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't love my baby right away.
It's hard.
We hear that a lot. Actually,
it's
women are
so
starting to talk about
hard.
The realities. Yeah.
And I feel like that was never even brought up to me and it made me feel awful.
Well, it's like when you're pregnant the whole time, everyone's talking about labor.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about
mothering.
Right.
Like no one's, hey, this is going to suck
for
probably the first 6 months until you get it down.
Right.
Yeah. And then it's going to suck again
yeah.
when they turn two and they're assholes. And then it's going to suck again
when they're 11.
When they're
and
five
think they're
and they
big.
Start yeah. kindergarten. Yeah. Like yeah. the whole thing sucks. It's all hard, but it's like the immense amount of love that you have for your kid makes it all worth it.
Right.
But no one's talking about the truth.
Right.
And like, you know, yes, dads are great, but they don't feel the same things that we feel in all the societal pressures mm-hmm. and everything else that we're constantly thinking about. Like somebody just posted Stassi Schroeder. She's on Vanderpump Rules, which is a show. She's like a whatever Bravo celebrity. And she just had a baby and she was like, I just had a baby and I'm so in love with my baby. But why is it that I can't stop thinking about my postpartum body and why I need to snap back?
Yeah.
It's because societally everybody
makes you think you
need to. Oh, you didn't lose your baby weight yet?
Right.
Yes, I lost my baby weight when my baby came out, okay?
Yeah.
But my body's going to take a little bit longer to adjust. Right.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it too is like you really realize how selfish you are as soon as you have your baby. You're like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. That ends. Like you realize
you're
like,
single you, female.
If you don't think
identity.
You're selfish, have a baby.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And then
because
see what happens.
I guarantee you, you're selfish.
And also, like, we get to live our own lives before we have a baby. Mm-hmm. And we're the ones that are that are expected to change every single thing about our lives because
right.
now we have a baby.
Yep.
Yes.
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 So that kind of is a good segue because that's what happened is that I felt like now I didn't have anything of my own.
Right.
My life was my husband's career.
Yep. And his business.
Which
right.
I love.
Right.
You know, like that's our livelihood. And,
right.
And I am very proud of what I give to the company.
Yes.
To make it go.
I mean, right.
It's a train and we got to have all the parts of the train to make
right.
it go. Well, then having a baby, you lose that kind of sense of freedom where, like, I get off from work and I can go do whatever I want. No, it's I get off from work and I have to be a mom now.
Yes.
And, you know, take care of the children and the house and, you know, all that stuff. And then there, what's left?
Right.
You know, because now I don't have my fulfillment from being a veterinary nurse.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, that chapter is closed.
That right? ship has sailed.
Yeah. But, you know, fulfillment from working at our landscaping business, fulfillment from being a mom, there was still something missing.
Well, yes. Your identity, Laura, you're like, where is Laura?
Yeah.
What is Laura about?
Yes.
I want to be more than just a mom and an employee and a helper to my, and
right.
a spouse.
Right.
I want my own identity as well. And I think that's what you are facing.
Yeah. And then also too, like, from where I came from, always grinding so hard
yeah.
and like having so many jobs and providing for myself, I kind of got to where I felt like I wasn't providing for my family.
Right.
Like not in a financial sense.
Yeah, sure.
Like, yes, I'm running the business and the business makes money and that's how we have the lifestyle that
like,
we
but
have.
But what is my personal contribution?
But I couldn't see my investment in our
yeah.
life,
yep.
basically. And so I really was like, okay, I'm just going to do some quiet research and
yeah.
nothing has to come of this if I don't find something that really is, you know, jumping out at me. And finally, like I said, I had that conversation with my husband in the kitchen one night. I was like, this is the X amount of dollars I have that literally it could burn up and I would be perfectly okay with it.
Yeah.
I told him I'd found a really good vendor and that was a chore in itself. I mean, finding good vendors, because with boutique clothing, you run into the problem of a lot of your stuff out there comes from China.
Yeah. And also like consistency, right?
Yes.
'Cause like you want to make sure that your sizing is pretty
sizing
average.
Is an issue.
Like, yeah.
Quality is an issue.
Yeah.
Shipping is an issue sometimes. And so I had to go through and basically like order little, you know, items here and there.
Like sample pieces.
Yeah, sample yeah. pieces. And initially I had to do it without a sales tax number, which is tough because
yeah.
A lot of your vendors that are legit, they don't want to sell to anybody that is not a legitimate
a business,
business
yeah, right.
like established.
Yeah.
And so I found this vendor that I absolutely love. every time I check in with them, they have something that I like.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I ordered a couple things, and not like at the same time. It was separate orders.
Yeah.
And they all came in. They were all really good quality. Colors were on point. Sizing was on point. And I was like, okay, I think I found it.
Yeah.
You know? And so placed my first order, and I told my husband, I was like, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to use Facebook right now because it's free.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And so my sales are live-based sales. I go through each item and kind of talk about them, tell them what sizes I have available and pricing. And so the other cool thing about it is that, you know, some boutiques, they have a number of each item.
Yeah.
Like they've got like four larges and four smalls. And, you know, I don't have that because I'm still starting out so fresh. I have a limited number of each item.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that too, because it's not like you're going to, you know, go to church and somebody else is going to have on your shirt.
Yeah. Right.
Well, there's also a sense of urgency for the shopper too. It's like,
true.
There's only one large.
Yes.
You want it, you better get it.
Yes. Yeah. So before you keep going about how to do it, how did you decide on a boutique?
So I, like I said, I love boutique clothing.
Yeah.
And I purchase boutique clothing a lot.
Yeah.
And I saw
and
so many.
And sometimes it's really expensive.
Yeah.
Sometimes like Francesca's is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Francesca's is, I would shop there a lot.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my gosh, I can't afford to do
like
this.
$100 for this top? Like, are we serious right now? Like,
and so that was another thing. Like, I wanted to be able to provide the clothes for an affordable price.
Right.
Like, I wanted people to think like, hey, you know, like I can look cute too.
Right.
And like, I don't have reasonable. To spend a fortune.
Right.
Because I'm all about, you know,
yes.
finding a deal.
I know, you're scrappy, man.
But yeah, so I was like, yeah, well, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there.
I'm just going to look it up. I'm just going to Google it. I'm just going to look at all these mm-hmm. things, how mm-hmm. I start it, how I do it. That's so inspirational.
Yeah. And so the first thing first was my Facebook page, got that up and running, did my first live sale as soon as my inventory came in, and went really well.
Yeah.
Like my first sale, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God, people bought my stuff.
No, like, and I made back my investment on my first sale.
That's amazing.
Nice.
And I told my husband, I was like, oh my gosh.
It worked.
This is, and you know, like you get that high.
Yes. Yeah.
You kind of get like a little pump and you're like, oh man, this is going to be great. Well, then like I got another inventory in, still had inventory left from the first sale, got new inventory in, had another sale, didn't do so well.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of had this low.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, did I mess up?
Right.
Because at this point, I have filed for an LLC, which is like $300.
Right.
I have registered my business name. I have reached out to a logo designer, and you know, I had hired somebody to do my logo.
Yeah.
I had somebody lined up to do my website. Like, I've got all this stuff, like, ready to go because I'm thinking this is going to be legitimate.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like, man. And I confided in my husband a little bit, and he was like, you're not going to be up and up every time. Like,
right.
Yeah, because he knows.
It's the universe testing your commitment.
Yeah. That's another, that's a huge plus. Being married to an entrepreneur too.
Yes.
Because
he gets it.
Can like encourage you through it and be like, hey,
it's
cool. Like you're not always going to, but these investments that you're making are going to work out in the long run.
Stick with
like,
it.
Yeah. And he's been super supportive and like encouraging, but he's also kind of like, I'm not going to tell you how to do it.
Right.
Like I'm going to let you figure it out.
Yes.
Because you're going to have to.
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm going to help guide you.
Right.
I'm not going to do it for you. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, I don't want you to do it for me.
Yeah.
Like,
you're kind of a figure it out kind of person anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and he's always been really like in as far as like giving me advice about how to invest my money, like for marketing and things like that, you know, a little opinionated.
Sure.
Sometimes I don't want him to be as opinionated, but that's okay.
You're like, I will listen. I don't have to do it.
Yeah,
though.
It's the nature of the beast.
Thank you.
Love you. But yeah, so since then I've had several live sales and I've gotten some repeat customers, and I was like completely shocked that I even had customers from like Michigan.
That's amazing.
And
Facebook,
it was,
man.
It was just because like I had a friend that I actually met in Mexico on a vacation in Michigan who bought something, and she invited her friends to the live and they bought something. Yeah. So it was just really cool how that happened. And now it's like at a point I've taken a little bit of a step back.
Yeah.
It's kind of on pause right now. Mainly because I kind of got uninspired by what was out there. And I think that's just like the nature
of the clothes options.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's just the nature of switching from fall to spring. Like I just kind of got bored and I was like, come on spring, let's get your spring stuff coming out. So now my vendor is starting to put their spring stuff out. I'm feeling a little bit more motivated and
inspired. Well, I feel like the stuff that you have on the wall is springy.
Yeah. So I've kind of prepared a little bit in advance for spring with some of the items that I have right now.
What's so nice about boutiques though, is like, if you're not feeling 100% about it as the business owner, you can say, skirt.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to push this stuff, especially if I don't like it, because my customers will feel that when I'm literally on the live trying to sell this stuff that I don't even like.
Yeah.
So like, why would I do that?
Yeah. And so that's another thing too. Whenever I'm selecting items, like I look at everything and I'm like, I would wear that.
Yes.
But I have to kind of push my boundaries a little bit because
you're like, I would never wear that, but some people think that's real cute.
Yes.
And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. So, and I take a chance every now and then and I'll order something and nobody bites. Yeah. And I'm like, dang, you know, but there's been times where I've pushed my limit and it sold out.
Right.
And people
and
I was like, what?
You're like, I guess, whatever.
Yeah. But so, and that's the difficult part is kind of learning your clientele and learning like their style. And then you have to kind of realize, okay, this person is a repeat customer and she's a size large. So I need to make sure I always have large.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of base your stock.
Kind of like a personal shopper in a way for some people.
Exactly.
So now that you own a boutique, do you find yourself paying attention more to trends and like fashion and stuff that's coming out? Or are you still just kind of going by your gut and things that you like?
You know, I think fashion right now is going in a very strange direction.
Oh, like pajamas.
Yeah.
For fashion.
Yeah. It's going
because of COVID.
Yeah, like, and then at the same time too, like when you go to Target and like you walk around and you're like, I am not inspired.
No.
When I go into
Target.
Well,
they were trying to sell like pilgrim dresses. Like what's going on?
Yeah, everything's like real dull and like old style and like stuff that we wore like when we were kids.
And I'm like ugh.
And everything's so short now. I'm sure you guys, you may like that, but everything is so short.
Every person at this table has a child, so ain't nobody trying to wear no crop top.
And it's a lot. Like you walk into Target especially, even just sweatshirts, t-shirts, everything is
cropped.
Kind of mid. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm like,
why?
No. Thank
also,
you.
I'm trying to cover up my mom belly when I sit down, bro.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
No thanks.
Yeah. So I'm still kind of going with my gut on that because I have always, I've always been against the grind, like the grain of
what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Which is great because you find your clientele is also the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then also like my clientele, there's a lot of moms, you know? And my thing was like, I just want moms to not feel like they have to spend a fortune to dress
nice,
like dress up and like have date night clothes, you know?
Right.
That was my thing is like, I find myself walking around in t-shirts and leggings every day, you know?
But
just
a lot
like
of this stuff
everybody
is transitional.
Else.
Like you could put flip flops with this dress. Or
wedges.
You could put wedges and jewelry and dress it up.
Absolutely.
A jean jacket or something.
Absolutely.
So I think it's kind of transitional.
I keep looking at that green shirt, I'm like, man, how could
and
I?
And that's the
I
other thing, too, is like I want everything that I pick, I want to be comfortable.
Right. Yeah.
Like you find yourself when you find like fancy clothes, sometimes they're not real comfortable.
No, and you're like adjusting all the time.
Yeah. So
and no one's having fun when they do that.
So that's the other thing. Things being comfortable, being, you know, still fancy enough to wear on a date night, but also casual enough to wear every day.
Yeah.
You know, and that it doesn't, in my price points are, I mean, the shirt you're wearing is, I think, $25.99.
Perfect.
And I think the one that you have on is like $27.99, if I'm not mistaken.
This is so cute.
So cute. So that color looks really good on you, too.
Thank you. I love it. That too. That looks
you can wear that to work.
I could.
You could.
I could wear this too. I would.
Yes.
I could. I would.
Yes.
So I hate to say this, but it's I think
we're coming up on time.
We are. And I hate that so much because your story is on so many different levels inspiring, not just that you've launched your own business and that it's successful and you're loving it, but just your story of the challenges that you faced when you first started life mm-hmm. and how you've prevailed. And girl, you got grit.
Grit.
I mean,
for
perseverance.
Sure.
And I just love that. I hope you're very honest and transparent with your children on the things that you've gone through because they're going to learn from that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really cool.
It's super inspiring.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm so proud of you for starting this.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
You don't even know how many moms feel the same way you do. And they're just like, why do I have this identity crisis?
That's
like,
right.
Why do I just not know
have
who I am?
Have something for yourself. Yeah. I love it. What is the name again?
Sugar and Suede.
And how do people find you?
So right now, I'm just on Facebook, okay. And it's Sugar and Suede, but the ampersand is super important.
Yeah. So Sugar and Suede on Facebook with the ampersand.
Yes.
So just Sugar, ampersand, Suede.
Yes.
Perfect.
Which basically just means the and sign.
Yes.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know what that is.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, go find her, y'all.
Yes.
Follow her. Buy something for sure.
Yes.
April, give us a plug.
Yeah, and we're like wearing your clothes right now. So
I know, cool. I love it.
This is like the coolest.
So exciting.
I don't think we've ever done this before.
Ever.
Yeah, I love it. Except for Jake. We wore Compete every day, but we like...
He didn't bring it though.
No.
We were just fans.
Yeah.
And had already had it.
Yeah. So www.biggirlpantspod.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube now. Please like and subscribe. And rate us. Give us a rating.
Please let us know what you think. We'd
yeah.
love to know. And if you have any ideas or if you want to be on the podcast, reach out. It's biggirlpantspod@gmail.com.
Word.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
See y'all.